first thing, some of y'all might notice, I'm a little bit lighter in the face. I made a tragic mistake of the barber by telling him to just get a little shape. And he sheared me. Took away my strength. Couldn't tie my shoes this morning. But we're living with our in-laws temporarily, and I can't make a mess by cutting my own face and all that, trying to respect them, so I went to a barber and haven't done that. And you reap what you sow. So today's message, comes from, so once again, if you haven't heard about anything about my situation, at work we've had a coworker pass away. I've also known some people in my family that have had some babies. There's been some events, major life-changing, altering events that's happened to the people surrounding me, and I've noticed that almost everyone I come in contact with, at some point in time in their life, they all start to question, what is the meaning of this life? Why are we here? What are we doing? And I remember I asked the same question, and I'll find myself every now and then still asking the same question. But everybody, at some point in time, wants to boil everything down to, why are we here? What is the meaning? What is this life for? And we're trying to feel full. And I think what we find a lot of times is that everything that we pursue, we still have emptiness about us. There's a lot of people out there that are trying to put this puzzle together. I see it all the time. I see it in teenagers. They put a lot of value, a lot of meaning in their life and their social lives. And so you see things go wrong with the bullying and drinking, drugs, and alcohol. And of course, that extends on to an adult and stuff. But with teenagers, they put so much value in their social lives and so much meaning. And when those things go wrong, a lot of times we see severe depression, even attempts at suicide and things like that. Then you got the 20-somethings. Those people are always out there trying to reevaluate the standards that they've always learned. They're trying to come up with the meaning of life through knowledge, pursuit of degrees, and through their college, just pursuit of knowledge. And they start questioning things that they've never questioned before, their religious beliefs, their family traditions. Then you have the 30-somethings that end up always doing their midlife crisis and lose their ever-loving minds. They go out and buy the sports cars. They trade an old wife for a new wife and boyfriends and make a lot of decisions because all of a sudden they think they got things figured out and that it's what they have is all there is to life. And so we see everyone trying to put these pieces together, trying to get this picture of what life is all about, but they don't have the full picture. They don't know what, they don't have all the pieces there to put it together. And that brings me to a place in the Bible, Ecclesiastes, and we have a guy here, this Bible writer, King Solomon, who was a son of a King David. So he's a silver spoon kind of guy, son of a king. He is the king of Israel. He is said in the Bible to be the wisest and wealthiest of all the kings. And what made him this way is whenever he was made king, God asked him what he wanted. And he said, above all things, that he wanted to be wise enough to rule over the people. And God granted him wisdom and granted it liberally. There's accounts in the Bible of people actually traveling far, far distances just to learn of his wisdom, just to talk to him. He wrote not the whole book, but most of the books of Proverbs, and if you ever read that book, if you've ever done any of the devotionals that Brother Steve has set us out to do, there's so much in there, and this man is so full of wisdom. It's God-given wisdom. Great things to learn and live by. He had a good start with God. He asked God for the wisdom rules. People, what a selfless thing to ask for. But he drifts far off the path. He drifts real far from the path. And that's, not unlike any of us do. You know, a lot of times we have a good start. We grow up in a Christian home where people love us and care about us. We grow up in a church of church members that love us and care about us. We drift far from the path. And he accounts what he learns through this. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. So we'll start on the first chapter, first verse, Ecclesiastes. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Vanity of vanities. In case you're wondering what that means. That means to be meaningless. That means to have no purpose. So he's saying, meaningless, saith the preacher. Meaningless. All is vanity. What profit has a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? Where is under the sun? It's here on earth. He's saying, meaningless is everything here on earth. So why does this guy sound so pessimistic? I mean, I'm saying that's a rough start. Okay, this is a big book right here. That's a rough start to a big book. All is meaningless. What profit is a man under the sun? So what is his credentials to say this? Why is Solomon talking like this? What is his credentials? How much does he know about the world? Well, Solomon was a super, super wealthy man. Okay? Like I said, he was one of the wisest, one of the wealthiest. He had much land. He built the temple in Jerusalem. He had gold. He had silver. He had cattle. He'll tell us a little bit more about all this. Let's go on and read. Skip down to verse 12 with me. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And I gave my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail hath God given to the sons of men be exercised therewith. I have seen all works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of the Spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come unto great estate, and I have gotten more wisdom than all they that have been before me in Jerusalem. Yea, and my heart had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And I have given my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also vexation of the Spirit. For in as much wisdom is much grief, and he that increaseth knowledge increaseth sorrow. So this man that asked God for wisdom, and now all of a sudden, sounds like he's condemning it. He's almost condemning knowledge and wisdom right here. For in as much wisdom is much grief, and increaseth knowledge, increaseth sorrow. Why would he be talking about wisdom like this? And what King Solomon's talking about, he's not talking about the wisdom God given. He's talking about the wisdom that we gain when the school of hard knocks. Everybody likes to pride themselves in saying, hey, I've been to the school of hard knocks. Well, what has that really taught you? Has it taught you to love people deeper? Has it taught you to give more? Has it given you any? What has it really given you? Or was it put a hard shell up around you and made you less capable of fulfilling God's command to love other people as you would yourself? And that's what he's saying right here, is that the more I learn about this world, the more I lean on worldly knowledge, the more grief I have. He says, back up in verse 17, he says, I perceive that this is also vexation of the Spirit. Vexation of the Spirit is likened to trying to carry water in a stream or to catch air. No matter how much you reach for it, how much you pull it in, you'll never be full. You can't carry water in a stream. And he's saying that this pursuit of knowledge, this pursuit of to try to philosophize life, to try to gather meaning by overthinking things, is like catching air. You're never going to grab it all. You're never going to understand this life when you're trying to think of it from this worldly view. You know, I know people that have self-help books just lining their shelves in their homes. And they are, and I'm guilty as bad. We all need help. I mean, no matter how much I read those, I still need help. Those things do not give me the key to happiness in my life. I've never read a book and said, oh wow, I've got this now. I'm good. And, you know, you can pursue, and college is great, and everyone should further education and go as far as they can go, but I just want to let you know today that is not the meaning of life, that when you die, your brain dies with you. You'll never get all you need to know in life through knowledge. That will never fulfill you totally. So, what about work? What about building a company? What about building a city or doing things with your hands? What about labor? What is that worth? Maybe that will carry on. You know, that doesn't die with us. That'll live on through someone else. Well, King Solomon talks about that. Go down to chapter 2, verse 4. He said, I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees and all of them all kinds of fruit. I made me pools of water to water therewith and wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens. I had servants born in my house. I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men with singers and women singers and the delights of sons of men as musical instruments and all that of all sorts. So I was great and increaseth more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. For my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked at all my works that all my hands had wrought, and on all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity, vexation of the spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. So let's go back to his credentials. He said, I planted vineyards. I built a city. I made gardens for people to walk in. I built a temple for people to pray in. And all is vexation of the spirit. All of it left me empty. No matter what I've done in this life, nothing has fulfilled me as I try to pursue it. And I can remember several years ago where I thought that accumulation of things would make me happy. I remember it was 5 years ago that I had set a record in my company for working the most overtime. That's hard to do if you're being a lineman, by the way, because there's a lot of storms and tornadoes and things that come through. And if you can, some of these bad years, it's hard to beat a record for overtime, but I did it. And I accumulated money and some things, but it left me empty. It actually took away some things. You know, a lot of times people will sit out there you want to attach a good purpose by what you're doing. So I'm trying to build my company, or I'm trying to help my employees. But there's something bigger. There's something bigger that King Solomon's working at here. Okay, there's something that he's trying to tell us. He says that whatsoever my eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. I think right there he's talking about pleasures. He's talking about, I mean, it could be hobbies. You know, one time I got into fly fishing, I got into photography, just poured my whole heart and soul on these things. Just bought all the gear, bought everything I could do because I thought that those things were the key to my happiness. My wife took under crocheting, and a couple Christmases, she spent her whole winter like making hats for these people for Christmas. And it just ended up turning into a job for her, but not really a hobby anymore. But a lot of people put our hobbies, we put our hobbies so far in front of us, our golf, our exercise, or whatever it is, we put these things way up and we pursue these things with all our heart, all this diligence, but for what? You know, when we were trying to move, and one night I came outside of my house, so we're moving out of our house, and we got all these boxes and we're loading them in this trailer. And I come outside at some point in time, and her dad's truck was jam-packed full of bags, just mounted over the truck. I said, what is that? She goes, it's trash. Well, I remember having this much trash in our house. We live in a pigsty. I mean, how does this much trash, a pickup truck made full of trash in our house? I started opening up, and it wasn't trash. It was stuff. It was stuff that one time I had to have, or one time she had to have, or one time my kids had to have. It was toys. It was some clothes. It was some knickknacks. It was some furniture. It was a bunch of different stuff. But one time I had to have these things, and I worked hard for them things. And now they were just going out. Now they were just filling up a truck bed, and they were going to a dump. So what are we supposed to do? So follow me on to chapter 12. Flip all the way to the back, chapter 12. King Solomon goes on to tell us about some more pitfalls, about some other things throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. And when we get to chapter 12, he's got this sum-all, sum-up version of what he thinks here. God-inspired. Chapter 12, verse 13. He said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." Fear God. You know what that means? It means to have such a reverence for God that it impacts the way that you live your life. That we have Him, we are so godly minded that our daily actions are affected and we change our course of what it normally would be because we are thinking of God. And he said, this is the whole duty of man. This guy who had everything. You know, I think a lot of people here are like, "I'd like to have everything." I'm like, "No, you don't." He just said he had everything and that it didn't fulfill him. You're like, "Well, I'd like to try, probably," right? You'd like to try and screw it up just like he did, at least, right? I know I would. But he comes in and he says, "You know what? This is the whole duty. This is what I found gives me fulfillment. After all these things, after owning everything, having all this money." You know, King Solomon had a lot of wives. He had a lot of things. And after all that, he said, "You know what? This is the whole duty of man, to fear God and keep His commandments." You know, in Luke chapter 12, verse 15, you don't have to go there. It says, "A man's life consisteth not in the things that he possesseth." That you cannot be summed up by the things that you have or what you're doing. You know, you might be good at golf, but when I die, I don't want to think of you as a golfer. When you, I don't want to have a lineman's funeral. I don't want anyone to think of me anything other than a man who served God and was good to his family. And I'm not against all the military burials or anything like that, but what I want to be summed up for are the things that matter. You know, when we were moving all our stuff into our storage building, my wife got a little bit too small of a, I won't blame it on you. She had a little bit too small of a storage building. She had like a 10 by 15, by the way, so you know. And we lift this thing up, and me and Joe, Brother Joe helped me move. Man, this thing crammed to the ceiling. I'm like, out of Joe, he's like 7 foot tall. He was having to throw stuff on the top there to fit everything in. And I had to go back without Joe, and we're out sitting there looking at this, and I'm like, I'm going to decide what I have to throw away in order to get stuff in here. I got so much stuff I can't fit in the storage building. And also, not this other night, I thought, my heart stores a lot of things. You know, Steve preached from the heart come the issues of life. My heart stores a lot of things, and I wonder how many times that God stands on the outside of our hearts, but we got so much junk inside of there. We're so full of hobbies and these pleasures and work. We don't have any room for Him. We haven't made any spot for God to come in and do something with us. And I want to encourage you today that maybe you need to sweep some out. Maybe you need to pick a few things. Let Him in there. And I'm not saying you got to work and you got to find a bunch of things to throw out, but let God in. Let Him point out to you what He wants gone. And I'm sure you'll agree with Him once He gets the point. I'm sure you'll say, "Yeah, I know that needs to go too, God." So if everybody would stand. Maybe today there's someone in here that has never known the love of Christ. They have never opened their door to God. They've got a whole lot of stuff in here, and they want to see that go. I'm going to ask Joe to play something, and if you would, if today's that day, would you make today that you give your heart to the Lord? You let Jesus Christ come in and make a new place inside your heart. And maybe there's some other things, that you're battling with. Maybe there's some things that you realize that you've put between you and God. And maybe it's time today that you get rid of those things. This day's for you. Go ahead, Joel, what do you think?